let's talk about Vitas. The main difference between a Vita and a resume, which some of you, most of you guys probably already know, I'm just going to tell you anyway, is that in the academic world, we read for a living. So pretty much reading a Vita doesn't scare us, whereas resumes are supposed to be one page. Even when you have a lot of education, Vitas can be as long as it takes to get the information across. And so the first thing you need to be aware of is that we're going to use the space we need to get the information across. They're going to search it. They're going to read it at their own pace. Nobody in academics is scared of reading. That's what they do. So we're going to be expansive on it. The one thing I can't tell you is this is the exact format for following your Vita. Okay? And if any of you have ever clicked on one of those pre-done formats for a Vita and did your Vita that way, please throw it away and start fresh in a Word document, because it is very fluid and very much depends on your field, what you're doing, the job you're applying for, what the area of emphasis is for you personally in your area, and what the area of emphasis is for the job. For instance, if I'm applying for an institution that is 70-30 teaching to research, one of the first things on my Vita after my education is going to be my teaching experience. However, if I'm applying for an institution that's 70-30 the other way, I'm not going to put the teaching experience at the first of my Vita. It's going to be way down there. And so I'm going to talk to you. It's really, we're going to take all that stuff I talked to you about before, about how you're building your experience while you're in school, and we're going to talk about how we're going to put that on our Vita and arrange it for that. Okay? So first of all, we just start with our name. Everything I'm talking to you about is what's to do this. I want the most important information on there that shows me off the best and is clear and easy to find. And that's why this matters, because they're reading it. You are not writing your Vita for you. You are writing your Vita for your future employer and university. Sometimes when I'm helping people and they say, but I really want this. Well, I don't care. You're not hiring you. They're hiring you. So it's for them. The most important information on your Vita is your name. So that has to be at the first. It needs to be bold. It needs to be not huge, but bigger than the normal size font on your resume, so I can quickly see that name and remember it, okay? On a Vita, as opposed to a resume, I do want addresses. I want your institution you're with and your institutional address, and you and your home address. And I want all the contact information, phone numbers and emails especially. That's how I contact you, is phone and email. When was the last time you got anything important other than a bill in the mail? Probably not. So make sure I have that information. That's the most critical. One thing that I still see all the time, especially for people working here, don't write Vita at the top. Okay, we know what a Vita is. We know what it is. You don't need to tell me that. Do start with your degree. We say your degree like you have it until you get it, and then we just leave it the same way. So your first degree is PhD in da 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 with an emphasis or specializing in. Give me that full information out. Okay, and bold that. I need that to stand out. I need to, at a quick glance, if I'm looking at your Vita in 2 seconds, I need to know where you're going to school and most especially what your emphasis is. And the emphasis is more important than the, and your major is more important than the degree. I need to know you're going to Utah State, but that's not near as important as what you're getting your degree in. So what your degree in is first. About 3 or 4 pages into your book, there's a sample if you want to look at it, okay? And then list every degree that you have. So I want your PhD first, foremost, and you list the graduation date as your future date. You don't even need to say projected. Just say May 2017. That's all you need. They're smart enough to look at it and know that that means I'm not done yet. I'm going to graduate in the future. Then this is where you start. The core things that you need in there, and again, the order depends on where you're applying and what your career goals are the very things we talked about you need to be building. I need to know your research history. What have you done? What are you doing? Who are you researching with? And we don't need to bullet point this. It's okay to have paragraphs in this. But a Vita is technical writing at its finest. So we want to make sure we're conveying the information, but you do not want to bore me with every little minute detail about your research or what your research is. Depending on the job is where you're going to put these. I need your teaching section. This is what I teach. This is what I've taught and how I taught. On mine, I list everything I have. Instructor and the course and when, and if it's more than one semester, that, and then I have co-taught, and then I have TA, and I actually even have divided mine lecturing TA versus just be there TA, right? You know those levels, and I'm very explicit about what level I was for each course, because I've taught classes where it's just me, I've co-taught classes, I've TA'd where I lectured every time, and I've TA'd where I did the grading. So you want to be explicit about that experience and show it off, okay? I need your publications that you've done, and you need to be explicit about that. follow the formatting guide for whatever your discipline is. So I use APA, and when I list a publication, I list it in APA style, exactly like if it was a reference in a search engine, okay? Exactly like that. And list it whatever it is. If you were a co-author, list it that way, but list it the right way and bold your name where it falls in line of that, okay? List everything. If it's in the process, list it in the process. If it's submitted for review, list that it's submitted for review. Wherever you're at, whatever you have, list it exactly where it's at and tell me all of it, okay? Don't list a whole bunch of unpublished papers unless they directly tie to your research thread, and then sometimes even that's okay to list a couple of those, okay, if it's directly in your research thread. Another section that we need in your vita is your research interests. Where do you want to go next? And a lot of institution, it's even not so much about the research you've done, although I need all that. Where are you going? What's your plan? And if you don't have a plan of where you're going and where you want to go, that's one of the things you should be working out right now. Where am I headed? They need to know that. Well, if I hired you, where's your next step? What's your next thing you're going to do? What's your next phase? And you need to put that on there. It's a different section, again, different from your research. Research interests, research goals, however you want to say that, okay? I need your community service or community outreach, okay? And this is different than the resumes that we do for the, you know, your undergrads and college students. This isn't warm, fuzzy outreach, okay? I don't care that you built houses for Habitat for Humanity in Nicaragua if it doesn't tie to your research and your research field and your interests and those relationships. So make sure that community outreach is tied to your goal, because university appointments have a section on that, right? A lot of times it'll be 10% community outreach or whatever. So have that community outreach tied to what you do. If you're in the field of education, then it's tied to the high schools you're working with or the organizations. If you're in biology, then it's doing outreach and training for different groups on those things. If you have it, say it and tell me that, but make it tied and relevant. I need your professional affiliations. And if you're leadership in a professional affiliation, whether it be student or beyond, then tell me that. Don't just list I'm a member. Say, you know, president of da-da-da, and then tell me some things under it that you did as president. Organized student chapter of da-da, this. Planned a national event, da-da-da, this. Tell me some of that, because that's all part of it. Search committees. I forgot to mention that one before. If you're on a search committee for the university, I want that on there. If you're a lab instructor, a tutor, mentoring, supervision, any of those, it's its own section and we want it in there. Again, this is going to vary depending on the field, but in some fields, student supervision is really important. That's part of it, and I need to know that. If you're a lab instructor, I need to know that. If you're over and have you done lab training for undergraduate lab assistants, I need to know that. Everything that you could possibly do in the future, I want on there. Make it succinct, make it direct. Don't go into too much flowery stuff, but list it. I need to know those things. And we're just planning out our vita that way. Awards and honors, usually I put those at the end because they're in a lot of ways the least important. Presentations, of course. And again, presentations, we list them in the major formatting style of our discipline. Okay? So we're gonna say conference, year, presentation title listed in the correct style format for your major. Tell me a little bit about it. Give me the conference dates. Give me all that information, and there's some sample on there for that. You're listing them like professional publications, because they are. The key thing is all these sections need to exist, or at least the ones that are most relevant to you, and then when you go to assemble your vita, you're gonna change those, okay? And you're gonna put them in the order that's important for you and for the job and for your discipline, okay? If you're applying for a research postdoc, then all the research information's first, and you go in order of importance from there. So it changes for every situation. That's why we don't use too many formats. That's why you always wanna have a Word copy, because you might go in and change that. Definitely grants and financial awards, and that is extremely important. That's gonna be fairly high in the hierarchy no matter where you're going. They show off your ability to number one, achieve, because usually they're very competitive. Number two, it shows off your ability to bring in external funding, which is always important at the university. Grant writing experience, grant participation experience is all important. And I would divide it that way. If you've been awarded a grant, that's awesome. You're going to show that off a lot. But even if you worked on a grant, I want to know that, and I put it under the grants. One thing that's true, different as well about vitas that's different than a resume is on resumes, you never double dip. On Vitas, you kind of have to double dip sometimes. If you're doing major research with a professor on a national grant, then that's going to be under your research. But I'm going to double dip and actually list that as part of the grant under grants, especially if I helped write any section of it, because I need them to know that. Wrote this section of national NHR grant, on that, and do that. And so it's okay to double dip if it's showing different skills. Don't double dip and just list it. If you had nothing to do with that grant, you're just doing the research, you don't get to put it on your grant section. But if you're part of the grant and part of that grant process, which might even include collecting the data for grant renewal, then yeah, put it on there. Let them know that. You need to do that and show that off. And the thing that you can always do is when a job is posted, have you guys went on to where those jobs are posted? I'm going to talk about where those are, by the way. Do that now, by the way. No matter where you're at, if you're early in this phase, go to the Chronicle of Higher Education. That, to me, that's the best source for finding jobs, because almost every academic job out there is listed. So the Chronicle of Higher Education is one of the best places to do it. They have a job board. Look at that. Now, I don't care if this is your first semester in your doctorate program, go on there now and look at and start looking at what those job listings are. Because those job listings, again, are very specific, and they're a blueprint for what you need to get the job. So when you go through, if they list number one, experience in grant writing, then guess what? Grant writing on your Vita is going to be very near the top. If they want they'll list it in the order of importance to them. So when you do your Vita for that job, just switch it around to the order that they've listed it. Or keeping in mind the order that shows you off the best too. Okay? If they list grant writing as number one and you don't have very much, then that don't lead with that. Okay? But to be honest with you, you're not going to get that job anyway, right? Because that's what they're gearing for. So do that, but look at that and start looking at that now. So number one place to look is the Chronicle of Higher Education. Individual institutions have their job boards, so you can always do that. There's also Higher Ed Jobs is another site that you can go on to find those listings. USA Jobs sometimes will have listings for institutions, because number one, universities are government entities. But a lot of times in higher education, there's a lot of cross listings. So there'll be a funded place that's partially funded by the National Institute of Health that is also at a university. And so USA Jobs is another source that you can see those cross listings. And then when you go to apply for it, go to the individual institution website and apply that way. Look in those places to find those jobs. But there is no such thing as starting too early looking, because it tells you what I need, the skills I have to have, and how I'm going to get there. As far as applying, maybe you can give me your opinion on this, but basically a year out is when you really want to start hitting that. Okay, when you're a year away from doing it, you should already be hitting that pretty heavy. Not that it's ever bad to network and start to do that before. Over in special ed and rehab, we had someone last year who was hired basically a year and a half out, and they just wanted him bad enough, they said fine. When you go to that point, if you're at that process, if you're not finished, needs to be part of the negotiation. Don't leave things to chance. Don't think that it's going to work out or that they're going to take care of it. That when I sit down and if I get offered a job before my dissertation's all the way done, okay, which is wonderful if that happens, great, right? You've got to make that part of the discussion. Okay, but I need this time and this time to go back to my university and do my defense. What kind of time can you allot me to finish my dissertation? I need to do this and this. That needs to be very active, vocal, and part of that negotiation process. Let them know, this is where I'm at, this is what I've got to do, what time do I have to do that, and make that part of the negotiation process, which does happen quite frequently, by the way. So this isn't odd that it happens, and you want to be very active in doing that and preparing for that. By the time you're a year out, you should be rocking and rolling and looking and networking. Higher education does not move really fast in the job market. I don't know if you've ever picked up on that. So some of these jobs, it will be a 6 to 8 month process to get anyway. So just by the time you go through everything. So definitely be proactive and start early on that.